You Can't Make It Up, show number 96 for Monday, August 16th, 2010. And Ken, this is also day number 187 in the Blago jury deliberations.
Yeah. Time flies when you're not having fun.
What are they thinking? What's going on in Chicago?
Yeah. What are they possibly missing? Or did the prosecution just not present a case?
Are they holding out for a bigger bribe? I don't know.
That's a very good point. I wish I were on that jury. I could use extra cash.
What are my bids? Yeah, just put the whole thing on eBay,
Yeah.
overnight, I went to one of our favorite news sources here at You Can't Make It Up, Ken's TV in San Antonio.
Yeah, that's my favorite TV station.
KENS, Channel 5 in San Antonio, and they were the first station, as far as I know. They broke this story at 3:30 this morning. Another Jersey Shore cast member arrested in New Jersey.
Oh, wait a minute. Knock me over with a feather.
Yeah, I know. It's who'd have thought? Yeah, another MTV celeb from Jersey Shore arrested in the same town where they shoot the show, Seaside Heights. Police there say 24-year-old Ronnie Ortiz Magro.
Oh, yeah, Ronnie. Yeah.
He'd been acting 20 minutes. He's taken into custody about noon yesterday, Sunday. Outstanding warrants from two other Garden City State communities. The warrants involve unpaid parking tickets.
That's it?
Yeah, police in the Bronx say they've been looking for him for a while now.
Did they not know that he was on Jersey Shore?
Yeah. Now, the arrest comes about 2 weeks after fellow cast member Nicole Snooki Polizzi, whose father said recently on television, "I don't get it. She has no talent." That's true. He said that. Her own dad, okay? Yeah, she was arrested at Seaside Heights Beach, charged with disorderly conduct a couple of weeks ago. Now, get this. Police say they arrested her after other beachgoers reported she was bothering them. Now, she can do that on television, see? But by getting back to Ronnie Ortiz Magro, he was arrested back in September of 2009, too, by Seaside Heights police. He was involved in a brawl on the boardwalk. These people are on television, and they're stars!
Well, I will say this. Those warrants really are outstanding. And they are mild.
Someday, when we have more time, you'll have to explain to me why these people are on television and why anybody watches.
I got to tell you, that show's a big hit in our household. Not for me, but...
I was going to say you can't make it up, but...
Apparently you can.
Well, he don't want you anymore. Since you opened up that door. And he couldn't find the way back to you if he wanted to. But he don't want to. Well, he don't want you anymore. And he couldn't find the way back to you if he wanted to. But now it's through. And it's just more of the same everywhere that you turn.
They are called The Famous. They're from San Francisco. They're an Americana band. Music sprinkled liberally with some post-punk, some rock, and some alt-country.
Yeah, it's sort of like Cheap Trick meets Hank Williams. It's a pretty good combo.
Or something, yeah. They've been compared to, forgive me, but I'm getting old. I don't know this group. Drive-By Truckers. You ever heard of them?
No, I've seen them.
Yeah. The Famous, these four guys in San Francisco, they say their music is influenced by people like Buck Owens, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard. No, they didn't say Merle, but I wanted to throw him in. That's the Triumphant,
And Modest Mouse, don't forget them.
And the Pixies. Bizarre moments in history this week. And I'm going to bring this up because if you've seen our website at You Can't Make It Up, the show originates at the number 2kenscomedy.com. You take no substitutes or we'll come and get you. But on the top of the page, to the left, there's a little caricature of a basketball referee with a whistle. All right? Well, that's because my partner here, one of the things he does when we're not doing this show is he officiates high school basketball in Connecticut.
That's true, and let's reemphasize that picture on the site is a caricature, not a portrait.
I've seen it on your driver's license.
Fine, which is also a caricature.
Well, the reason I raise that point is to reference this story. This coming Thursday, the 19th, is the 8th anniversary of what ended as an ugly sporting event in Auckland. Because on August 19th, 2002, a referee called a halt, before it was over, to a rugby match for under 10-year-old kids after the ref said things had become, quote, too violent. Yeah. What happened when he called off the game early? Fans were so incensed, they brutally assaulted him. True story.
For under 10-year-olds.
Yeah, the parents assaulted this guy.
Wow.
Does this ever happen to you on a basketball court?
Well, let's put it this way. They've never gotten quite as far as the assault, but the wishful thinking is always there.
Intent being nine-tenths
of
the law.
It is. You know, it's just out of control.
Well, what's new in your corner of the world?
Well, you know, again, we don't like to reference stuff that's been in the news a lot unless there's something, a bit of a twist that no one knows about. And, you know, this whole flap about the JetBlue flight attendant that went wiggo on the passengers and after being hit in the head by one of them and then, you know, grabbed a beer, activated the chute and slid off into apparently fame and who knows fortune, you know.
Yeah.
Well, whether or not you like the guy, think he's a jerk or a hero is not important. Well, what I found interesting is that the company, JetBlue, great example of just not knowing how to do PR, you know, didn't comment about it for days, which is, and then they put something on their company blog, and they thought they would make light of it, you know?
That's a good idea.
Not a good idea, you know? Sometimes the weird news about us, ha, ha, ha. Well, the reason I bring it up is I think, Mr. Ken, you and I need to call to our lawyers over at Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. Because I think we can get these guys on plagiarism or perhaps trademark infringement. Because at the end of the blog, after they go through their lame attempts at joking about it, they finish up the blog by saying, and I quote, "You can't make this shtick up."
All right. Okay.
I think we got him.
Yeah, we're done here. We're gonna. Where's that referee in Auckland? Yeah. We're gonna call this off now, early. I need to make a couple calls to our legal department.
Yeah. Man.
The first one being hiring one, I think.
Well, you know, that's true. Maybe one of those lawyers that advertises on late night TV.
The guy that slid down the chute with the two beers, did he slide right into the casting room for Jersey Shore? Because he's a natural.
He's got a show. I guarantee you he's going to have a show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. So, moving along, yes. Speaking of bad days.
I've seen better days. That was a great song, though. Yes, well, you know, again, as a public service, if you out there think that you're starting your week off with a bad day, you'll feel better after hearing about this, this from the Chicago Sun-Times. And it's about a 35-year-old man from the near north side of my hometown, Chicago, who did have quite a bad day. But then again, apparently he's had a lot of bad days in his life. In fact, he's been arrested some 14 times and has about 80 convictions on his criminal record. So I think he knows what bad days are.
What's the Guinness record for that, by the way?
Well, he's not close, but he's working at it. Anyway, so on this particular day, he finds himself in a situation in which he ends up trying to flee the police to avoid yet another arrest. Now, this one is for unpaid child support. So the Cook County, Illinois Sheriff's Department gets into the act, and they're dispatched to an apartment where he is reported to be staying. So they knock on the door, they announce their presence, and a woman opens the door and says, well, she doesn't know where the guy is, et cetera, et cetera. But she asks the deputies in, they look around the apartment, they see an open window. In the meantime, this guy jumps out the window to avoid arrest. Well, it was a bit of a risk because the apartment was on the third floor. Now, what he sees below is what he thinks is a lawn in a fenced-in yard, and figures he can make a soft landing. Not so much, because from the third floor, what looked like a lawn and some nice piece of soft grass was, in fact, AstroTurf over concrete.
Oh, good.
So he lands on the AstroTurf and breaks both his legs. Now, meanwhile, the deputies make their way downstairs, and they're going to try and catch him there and arrest him. He tries to elude them, but of course, with two broken legs, he's not going to get very far. So he starts crawling. All right. Now, what he has going in his favor is that there is a locked wrought iron gate fence that prevents the police from getting inside the yard to actually arrest him. However, The bad news for him is that he landed so close to the gate that all the deputy had to do was reach in, grab his arm from the gate, and handcuff him to the fence until security from the building can unlock the gate and they can take him away. Put your hands up high. Talk about a bad day. Oh, by the way, did I mention his name?
What's his name?
Ronald Booby McIntyre.
Booby.
I am not making that up.
Ronald McIntyre. you're a celebrity, pal. Now the whole world's heard of you.
Don't you all feel better now?
More of that you can't make it up shtick.
Yeah. Yes, he was born on
the road in the month. Hi, I'm Rex Fowler.
And I'm Neil Shulman. We are Aztec Two-Step.
And when we're on the road, we always listen to You Can't Make It Up. He sees them more than his
eyes. Hey, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes we're on the supermarket aisle looking at magazines, watch?
Well, I think you should speak for yourself.
Well, you know, sometimes our best material comes from right there on the shelves there, what they're putting on the covers of these mags that women buy. I saw Woman's World last week at the supermarket. Didn't buy it.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
But then I find out that Penny is a subscriber, so here it is right in front of me. The cover story, lose as much as 92 pounds on the NASCAR Wives Speed Diet.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and there's a picture of one of these NASCAR wives, and, you know, she ain't seen a diet lately. She's kind of a twig. But, you know, you inside it talks about this new craze down south, this NASCAR, well, it's down south because that's where NASCAR is big, I'm assuming. And, you know, it's got things like getting them to eat egg whites and hummus and Greek yogurt and shakes, these protein shakes. And I said to myself, NASCAR, you know, beer, cars going to making a lot of left turns, you know, just going around in circles really, really fast. Have you ever seen the women that hang out with these rock stars on wheels?
No, I try to look away, you know. It's such...
Well, they're buxom and they're
yeah, well, that's kind.
They need a diet like, and so I said to myself, we need an expert opinion on just how popular or not so this NASCAR Wives Speed Diet is. So I thought, what if we call Larry from Georgia? Remember him?
Yeah, you hope you'll get him, because, you know, the way you get him is at that payphone down at the corner liquor store there. So
yes, well, as I recall, he was running.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah, remember we asked him what he did for a living, and he runs.
Yeah, from the law.
Well, anyway, what do you say we give him a call here, and we'll surprise him?
Okay. Yeah.
You have reached the Taliban. We cannot answer the phone right now because the Americans are bombing the shit out of us. To leave a message for the Taliban, please press 1.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, do you have us on, like, that caller ID or something? Did you know who it was that was calling you?
I had no idea. I'm thankful it's not the government.
So you answer every phone call with, hey, guys, just on rough chance it might be us.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, Larry from Georgia, this is Ken, and the other Ken is with us, and this is You Can't Make It Up.
Oh, yeah, I remember you guys.
I'll bet you do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, we've been kind. I mean, I've laid off the South for a while, but that's off now.
We certainly appreciate it, because yeah, we have our militia here just waiting for you guys to come down and visit us.
Well, that's why we haven't been down.
That's right.
That's the greeting we get in Wisconsin, too, thanks to my friend here. Anyway, got this question for you, Larry. Now, a couple questions. You follow NASCAR down there in Georgia?
Well, I do at a great distance.
Okay. All right. And also, are you married?
I am.
Okay. Now, you can choose to answer this knowing that your wife may hear this show or not. Does your wife ever diet?
No.
All right, because I wanted to get your take on this. You know what NASCAR is, of course.
Oh, of course, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, these athletes.
Yeah, all these guys sitting there, and their little rigs going around and around and around.
Yeah,
give you vertigo.
Yeah, and you know there are a couple women drivers too of note.
Yeah, there are. Danica Patrick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a babe.
Well, now here's the thing. I understand this hot new diet down south, and you wouldn't know because your wife isn't on a diet ever, but NASCAR Wives Speed Diet. I mean, what do you think of that whole thing of NASCAR wives coming up with a diet? They're marketing this. It's like protein shakes. And I mean, what's that?
To use a southernism sounds like an oxymoron to me. Or maybe just a moron.
When I think of NASCAR wives and women in general that hang out with these people, I'm thinking beer and parties, and I just don't, diet never comes into the picture in my mind.
Yeah, you know, that, I mean, that was the whole beginning of the term double wide. Not a vehicle, folks. NASCAR wives.
We found this on the cover of Woman's World, and I'm trying to figure out how successful this would be, considering that if you married to a NASCAR driver, then the reason you're together is, you know, his celebrity and your willingness to be seen as the, you know, on the arm of, and, you know, you're just not in need of a diet. So those who are in need of diets, they can't afford it, because that means their husbands aren't very good at what they're doing. Say.
It sounds like a reasonable explanation. I think the whole thing sounds a little silly.
Well, and I guess you would know silly down at South when you run into it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely know. We see silly every day. All these guys with their dogs hanging out the window, catching the breeze.
The ones who aren't driving.
The ones who aren't driving, yeah. They even let their dogs drive their own rigs. It's amazing.
We didn't ask you this the last time we talked to you many, many months ago, but you don't sound like you're from down south.
Well, I'm not. They got me kind of late in life. Never picked up the accent, never learned the language, married an interpreter, no need.
Well, you say they got you. What, are you a hostage?
No, not hostage. No, there are no ransom notes down here. No, I'm a transplanted Yankee.
Ah.
And you're staying there willingly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got a lot of things going for it.
Can you name one or two?
Got a lot of heat. A lot of heat. So you're never, you know, we've had global warming from the beginning of time.
Yeah, he probably invented it.
Not worried about the glacier melting either. Not going to get down here.
Well, you know, Larry, this is show number 96 if you can't make it up, and I kind of wish we had waited until 100, because, you know, we need to have all the people that got us there on that 100th anniversary show.
Well, hopefully I'll be around. You guys can dial me again, and we'll do a number 100.
Would you be on that show?
Absolutely, and, you know, who knows? I might see a few skinny NASCAR wives.
Keep looking, will you, please?
Oh, definitely. I'm going to start looking for them now that I know that's an item.
Well, when you're on your Black Watch run, you know.
My run, I'll look and peer in the windows there. Hey there, skinny NASCAR wife. Want to come running with me?
Now, there's a pickup line if I ever heard one.
Absolutely.
Larry from Georgia, you're a good sport, and thank you so much for joining us here.
See you show 100.
Yeah, okay. I want to just make one observation of that piece there, compadre. Mm-hmm. Memo to our sound effects department. Next time you're going to put stock cars behind us, would you stop using the vuvuzelas instead? Just sounded like those horns to me.
Do they play vuvuzelas at 10-year-old rugby matches?
I don't know. That was before vuvuzelas came on the scene. So, if you're new to this show, this is the first time you've ever heard this.
Well, where have you been, first of all?
You'll get over it, believe me. It gets better.
Maybe you found us by accident.
Well, you may have come to us because you heard that we're big on stupid criminals and stupid crimes and the people who are paid to apprehend the stupid criminals. And do we have more stupid criminal news this morning?
Well, it's a bit of a twist on this because, yes, we have plenty of stupid criminals week in and week out. And I have a theory that what's starting to happen is police are starting to listen to our show.
Yeah, and they want equal time.
No, that's true. Maybe, but I think that they have gotten the false impression that as stupid as our criminals are, that they're actually dumber than they really are. So the police, well, they take a few liberties here. Let me give you a couple of examples, and you tell me if I'm wrong. All right. Now, over in New Albany, Indiana, which I never knew existed, this from WAVE, Channel 3, they raid an apartment and they find about $4,500 in counterfeit bills. And they came to that deduction because what they saw in the apartment was a bunch of dollars already printed, more dollars having yet to be cut from the paper, the machine that's printing the money, and the people actually doing the printing. So they put two and two together, and they figured they're counterfeiting. Well, then they go raid another apartment in the complex, and they find a stash of marijuana and other legal drugs. So now they come to the conclusion that that counterfeit money in apartment A was going to be used to buy illegal drugs in apartment B. So here's what Sergeant Jerry Gooden of the Indiana State Police did. He put out sort of a press release, which he hoped that the local media would carry, and that all the area's local stupid criminals would hear or read and see. And here's the message from the police. Quote, "We have information, allegedly, that leads us to believe that a lot of this counterfeit money we seized was going to be used to buy drugs. So we want all of you drug dealers to call us. We want to get all of your information. Tell us what you're about to do, because we want to see what we can do to try and help you. Trust us. Call us." Now, so, you think that's going to work? Dumb to you. I mean, come on.
I guess he believes that that you're right.
And
your theory about
kidding.
They're listening to us.
He
they think criminals are that stupid.
Let me give you another one. Over in Iowa City, Iowa City, Iowa, which is where the University of Iowa is, and that's sort of what's behind this one. The local police there, they've come up with what they think is a novel idea, not a brilliant idea, but a novel idea to help keep the peace on campus, especially during, you know, party season. So here's what the police came up with, or the chief anyway. He wants to institute a campus house party registration program.
Yeah.
Under the program, students who are planning on holding a party would have to register that party ahead of time with the police. Then, once the party's underway, if the police receive a complaint from anybody that the party, you know, they're making too much noise, the police call the party organizer on the phone, and the organizer then has 20 minutes to shut the party down, and if they do, no arrests, and the police don't have to go make a house call. So, Police Chief Sam Hargardine says this idea is a win-win for the neighbors, the students, the university, and the police. But you see, I don't think they thought this one through. Let me ask you this, Chief Hargardine. Do you really think think college students trust the police enough to really let them know they're going to have a party? Yeah. Is that going to happen?
Hello, police department? Kegger at Ken's house.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be going from 9 to 4, and we're at room 413, dorm A.
Listen, you're going to give us 20 minutes to shut it down? Everybody be passed out in 15.
Right. Oh, and by the way, it's not like we would move the party somewhere else if need be in that 20 minutes.
Toga!
Every spring, the toilets explode.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that going to work?
No. Well, do you have a moment of duh for us today?
Yes, it's a moment of duh, and I think it also might qualify as a moment of oops. You know, as I've said many, many times before in this show, state and municipal government just doesn't attract the best and brightest, as you know. Well, apparently they don't subcontract the best and the brightest either. So this being, what's the date in August today? August
16th, yeah.
That means that the first day of school in a lot of cities and towns is right around the corner. So usually about this time of year is a big push to get all the school buildings, you know, cleaned up, painted, spiffed up, the grounds all taken care of, all the painting done, et cetera, et cetera. Well, occasionally it might go awry, as in this case. Now, if you happen to be a parent of a student or a student at Southern Guilford High School in Greensboro, North Carolina, we'll forgive you if once school opens, you get confused as you drive by the school and maybe drive off the road. See, the road that goes by the school was recently repaved. So the Public Works Department and the state had to get someone out there to, you know, repaint all the markings, the crosswalks, and the thing that says school zone, you know, on the road. So you'll slow down. So the state goes ahead and they subcontract the painting work. They hire a company to go out and do the road painting, and the crew was charged with, among other things, painting the word school in the middle of the road in big white capital letters. Unfortunately, they spelled the word school S-H-C-O-O-L.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, a spokesman for the painting company said, quote, "They had made a mistake. And then they put out a notice to the public that they would fix the problem and send someone out to the school to make the correction ASAP." Yeah. Not clear whether they spelled ASAP correctly.
PSA, yeah. See, and the thing is, how many drivers crossed before someone noticed?
You know, that's another thing. That's the scary part. Oh, I don't know. I didn't see anything wrong, did you?
No. It's the dumbing down of America.
It is. It's sad. But it's
and we're contributing
us.
To it every week. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's good for the show. Keep it up.
Well, if you enjoyed this...
And God knows what...
Wait till you hear our 100th. That's going to do it for show 96 of You Can't Make It Up. He's Ken.
And oddly enough, so is he. And this show terminates at where?
Over at KENS Channel 5 in San Antonio. We'll see you next time, I hope.
Yeah.
In a town that's full of lies.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2 kenscomedy.com.
You can't close them, you can't close them. And these dreams I'm having too aren't the only things untrue. So we'll lie awake at night and try to forget you. Call me sweetheart, but now we just don't call each other anymore. And I'm better without you. I'm better without you.